Good morning. Welcome. Everything is exposed. Nothing is hidden. 10,000 years of birth and death are in this very instant. Nothing is hidden. Everything is exposed. So why do we make something out of nothing? Why do we attempt to hide behind a transparent curtain? We put horns on a rabbit and wings on a tortoise and insist that that's the way it is. We're creating suffering for ourselves and others when we make. Why do we make? So, you know, we have these simplistic ways of expressing ignorance, greed, anger. It's all right there. It's not difficult. When your eyes are open, when your Dharma eye is open, it's all exposed. Nothing is hidden. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Karma unfolds as it does. Everything is exposed. So when things don't go the way we would like them to go, because our horns are better than someone else's horns, we're not seeing things clearly. We're not seeing with the eagle eye of wisdom. So why do we make? Why not soar on those wings and see with that eagle eye? Why make? Why? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to hide behind? What are you avoiding? What is it that you don't want to look at? What are you afraid of? What could possibly happen? You die? You lose everything? What is everything? Everything is exposed. It's right there. You know, we get these phone calls. Yesterday, I got a call that said it was from Blake Medical Center. I thought, I was driving home from North Carolina, and I thought, oh my goodness, it could be from Charlene. I made something right away out of it. And so I answered it. And this very serious voice comes on and says, your electric will be cut off momentarily if you don't return this call immediately. I admit at first I got a little angry. And then I realized everything is exposed. Nothing is hidden. You know, who are you fooling? So you'll recognize this book probably. 2008 Kongans from the original Light Temple, Trungpa Sunim. So I'm going to read this koan, and I don't expect you to answer it, but you can think of the answer. Zen master or cow? Zen master Jung Kang once gave the following Dharma speech. Everything has Buddha nature, but Buddha nature is originally empty. So how can everything have Buddha nature? The assembly of monks was silent. He continued, a long time ago, the famous Chinese Zen master Wei San said, when I die, I will be reborn as a cow at my layman's house. So my question is, what do you call him? Is he Wei San or is he a cow? So then here's a couple of questions that follow this story. Everything has Buddha nature, but Buddha nature is originally empty. So how can everything have Buddha nature? When Wei San dies, he becomes a cow. At that time, would you call him Zen Master Wei San or a cow? Then the commentary is, what do you see now? What do you hear now? Everything is clear in front of you. It's good to see you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have anything that you want to talk about or questions or whatever. Speak up, please.
So you have Michael on?
Yeah, Michael's there.
All right. I finally got around to reading about the Stoics because he brought them up a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Yes. That's some interesting parallels there.
Can you hear him, Michael? Yeah. Yeah. Coming back to the conversation about the Stoics.
Yeah, I oftentimes wonder what are the big differences? And sometimes I find practically there's a lot of similarities, but there does seem to be a little bit more, I don't know if this is the right way, but a little bit more resignation in the Stoics, whereas this is a little bit more open. That's the only way to describe it, really. I could be wrong. I'm sure a Stoic scholar would object to that, but
maybe he might find it an interesting comment. Yeah,
I struggle with both of them.
Yeah, so
That's good morning. Thank you, Will, for your talk. I like the theme of everything is exposed, nothing is hidden, because that's been a hard lesson for me to learn. And trust that I do have a Buddha nature, and if I can allow that to come through, I have everything I could possibly need to be able to take care of myself and to be hopefully helpful to other people. So thank you for letting me share that.
When we're confronted with a really tragic circumstance that we see is so unnecessary from our view, it's hard to reconcile in our thinking, in our mind. Why would someone put themselves through something like that? But what I was talking about when I said everything is clear and everything is exposed, and the eagle eye, it's not a matter of wishing things to be different. It's a matter of understanding and being present with how things are. So if you can be present to your Buddha nature, then you're also present to her Buddha nature. There's no difference. This is difficult for us because we see separation and pain and suffering. We don't see the potential for awakening that is right there all the time, because we're so busy putting horns on rabbits. And again, what you said about fear, yes, you know, I think that's true. I think that that's a big motivation for much of what goes on in the world in terms of our suffering as humanity is based on fear.
I've been struggling this past week with I'm on several band boards, you know, concert band boards. And as the cases of COVID were going down in May and June, everybody was looking forward in the fall to coming back and playing in concerts, and getting together again. And as the cases are going up, band boards that are responsible are really agonizing over what to do, what COVID policies to put into place, what the Association of Concert Bands has to say about it, what the Collegiate Board of Music Directors has to say about it. And there's all these recommendations. And it's very hard as a person who tries to look at reality to, or what my idea of reality is, and safety to be firm, I guess the word is firm, in what I think should happen. And the consequence then for myself and then for other people. And so that's what I've been struggling this week, because people were very excited. I mean, I was very excited about coming back and acting like it had, like the virus had gone, but it's not gone. Continuing to die. And I was thinking of what Ross was saying about his sister-in-law sort of pertains to people who are acting like the virus doesn't exist. So that's what I've been struggling with and trying to make decisions that I think are safe for everyone. And then having decisions being made that then I decide aren't safe for me, and then I won't participate. So struggle right now.
I think one of the things that is important to keep in mind throughout this whole upheaval is you can't make somebody understand they have to come to it. And so my reaction to, for example, us pulling out of Afghanistan was, sometimes you have to get out of the way for real change to happen. Rather than trying to make something in our own image, in our idea of what is perfect, everything is transparent. To stand your ground in your truth is wonderful, but you can't make someone else stand in that same ground. But you as an example can show a way. So that's a whole lot different than trying to force somebody into seeing your way of doing things and making them go along with it. They have to have that realization that what you're saying makes sense. They have to come to that understanding on their own. Like, you know, you can never, as a Zen practitioner, we don't insist that people come join us because we know the way. We couldn't possibly do that because it's about self-realization. And actually everything is. For change to happen, you have to realize it has to happen. If you're an addict, you have to realize you're an addict and make the change. You can't you know, but I can't talk to an addict and say, you have to make the change. Put on your mask. Well, in certain social settings, you can. You know, you can say, okay, this isn't a health issue. It has nothing to do with politics. And stick to your guns. You know, as soon as you politicize it, I'm right, you're wrong, you got enemies. Even when you make it a health issue and you say, wear your seatbelt. But when seatbelts first came about, when I was a teenager, wow. Up in arms, man, carrying guns. Nobody's going to take my freedom away from me. I know, you know, it's just like, how do we stay patient? How do we stay understanding and not get angry? Everything is clear. You write your own will. You write your own path. You can't take someone else's. We can just be an example and live the best we can. And hope that they notice that it's working for us. Maybe we do have something that could work for them too. Not so okay.
Catch all these think pieces, if everybody's noticed that right now, where there's a lot of articles online that are basically like, I'm angry. Like, I'm angry at, and it's basically saying, like, they interview doctors, and doctors are saying they're sad, but they're angry, and they're angry at people who don't get vaccinated. And it's funny, like, I feel that way, but I catch myself. And then I see like an article written about, and the whole point of the article is just about how we're angry at people who aren't vaccinated. And I read that and I go, what is the point of this article? Like, what is this doing? It's just saying that it's just pointing at them and saying it's, even if it is their fault, like, what's the point of the anger? And then broadcasting that out to the world to say that this is a perspective you should have. It really makes me upset when I read that.
Yeah. And again, everything is exposed. What does that mean? That means that you're not seeing your own process of grief. You're not seeing the stages that you're going through. Anger is one of them. We're confronted with huge changes in our lives. There's a lot of grief, and people are expressing it as anger. That's not owning it. It's trying to put it on someone else. It's trying to hide behind that transparent curtain that I was talking about, of our view that we put up there, because we have the, you know, the finger pointing out that way and the three pointing back. We're not seeing those three fingers. My sister-in-law said the other day that she was really angry. And she said, I hate to say this, but I just hope they die. And I said, I don't. I said, I can understand being angry. But there have been many times in my life where I've been really foolish and could have caused my own death or someone else's. I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. We're all responsible. We all have done stupid things that have been harmful. Give them a break. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of the reality. They're putting horns on rabbits. Maybe you'll get the opportunity to say, see, the rabbit doesn't have any horns. Or maybe they'll have to wake up to that fact themselves. Just be everything you could be. Influence what you can from a clear space, from seeing things how they actually are, and not making something out of it. Like Michael was just pointing out, those articles are making something. They're not really dealing with the reality of the situation. One of the annoying things for me about all the news coming out of Afghanistan, as tragic and terrible as that is, 20 years of horror, the talking heads. Really? What the hell are you talking about? Well, if only this was done or that was done, or if we did it this way, give me a break. You know, really. Own up to it. Everything is transparent. Nothing is hidden. We just keep trying to hide it because we don't like it. Because it doesn't meet our expectations of how things can be. It's not reality. It doesn't have to be this way. It's a good thing to remember. It doesn't have to be this way.
In my experience, I was not able to have the clarity that I think you're referring to be able to see that everything is transparent and that nothing is hidden.
Yes.
It was only through my own suffering that I came to understand that.
Yeah.
And it's like we say that Buddhism is about ending suffering, and that it's the attachments which cause us the suffering. And so it was only until I could recognize that the things that I was holding on to, my old ideas, a lot of them colored or formed by my fears, were what was holding me back. And it wasn't until I came into recovery and then developed a practice, a meditative practice, Zen, that I was able to have that clarity, because now I can recognize when those old tapes start playing and I start trying to make things, or I don't accept things as they are. And so then I became willing to accept recovery and willing to accept a Zen practice, because by doing that, I am able to have the clarity more often, and I get the rewards, or I'm suffering less because I understand how I'm making, and how by doing that I'm creating my own difficulties.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. Well, keep on being yourselves. You're wonderful. And thanks for sharing your space and time with me this morning. Appreciate it. Have a good day, everybody.